a son of God. I'm not a slave. I'm not just a believer. I am a son of God. I have his genetic makeup in my soul. I have the destiny that one day I will inherit all that a son of God inherits. I will share in God's rule. I will share in God's reign. I will share in God's kingdom. I am an heir of the richest person in the universe. And I'm not waiting for him to die before I share in the inheritance. By the way, it's interesting that the Bible does actually bring this point out, that we are heirs of God. And in Hebrews, he points out the fact that a testament, a will, is only in force when a person dies. And he points out this little fact that because Christ died, I can now be an heir of God. Of course, there's a slight difference. I don't know what happens to a will when the person who died rose from the dead. You know, if I was the son of a millionaire and he died and left me 10 million and then rose from the dead, he might come back on Friday and say, excuse me, I want it back, you know. But fortunately, that complication doesn't arise with the death and resurrection of Jesus. He died to make me an heir. He died to make me a son. I inherit. I am a son of God. You know, it's so ennobling. It causes you to lift up your head. You are not just being saved and given a place to sit and be grateful. You are being saved and raised to sit with the sons of God. This is the highest honor a human being could ever imagine, anybody could ever imagine, to be a son of God, a co-heir with Christ. Everything that Christ has is mine. God doesn't say, you can have part of what he's got. He says, you are a joint heir with my son, Jesus Christ. I give you the same grace, the same life, the same standing, the same power. The only difference between me and Jesus is that Jesus is actually God. But he became a son of man to bring the sons of men to be sons of God. And it's this tremendous power. The gospel is not bringing me into relationship with God through law. It's like a marriage with a lawyer standing between the couple. And they communicate through the couple, through the lawyer. If a husband and wife can only communicate through a mediator, there's something wrong. And there are couples, you hear these famous divorces where they can only talk to each other in the courtroom. When there's lawyers and there's judges and there's... That's really a picture of what it's like to be under law. But really now we are sons of God. We are family. We are completely different. Now, as he goes on in this, he says, God has declared you as sons. He's publicly acknowledged you as his own children. You are no longer under the law. You are now sons of God. And in verse 19, he says, my little children of whom I travail in birth again, till Christ be formed in you, because Christ was formed in them. And when a person believes and trusts in Christ, Christ is formed in us. It may not be the full maturity of Christ yet, but when we receive the Spirit of God, Christ is formed in us. Now, the end of chapter 4, let's read on here, because as it is written, Abraham had two sons, one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. He who was of the bondwoman, Hagar, was born after the flesh. But he of the free woman, Sarah, was by promise. These things are a picture. They are the two covenants. One from Mount Sinai, which produces bondage, which is Hagar. Hagar corresponds to Mount Sinai in Arabia, and really corresponds to modern Jerusalem. Notice that. Now, really, if I were to be controversial with the Jews today, I would say, really, you're like Ishmael. That's what he's saying here. That's a staggering thing. And of course, if I was ministering to the Jews, I wouldn't choose this as my opening text. And it's incredible that a Jew wrote this. Paul wrote this. He's saying that modern Jerusalem is like Ishmael. Not even like Isaac. Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. And when when you ever sing a song which mentions Jerusalem, do you think of Jerusalem in Palestine or do you think of Jerusalem in heaven? Here he says, Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. There is a new Jerusalem and there's an old Jerusalem. Which do you belong to? The new Jerusalem. And is that exclusive? No, it's the Jews. It belongs to the Jews. Jerusalem is the capital of the Jews. But New Jerusalem is their capital, as Jesus is their new Messiah. He's their Messiah. Rejoice, verse 27, you barren woman, that's Sarah, that did not bear, break forth and cry, you that did not travail. For the desolate has many more children than she has a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what says the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman will not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. What he's basically saying here is, the two covenants don't mix. One cancels out the other. You either go for one or the other, but you can't mix the two. Now, notice what these are. Go back and think about this for a moment. Hagar, Ishmael, Sarah, Isaac. Now, just think about it, because what he's saying is Ishmael is corresponding to the law of Moses. Why? Because Ishmael was the son of Abraham's inventive strength. He wasn't a miracle. There's nothing miraculous about the birth of Ishmael. And by the way, when we talk about the birth of Ishmael, I like to mention this fact. Ishmael was an unwanted pregnancy. Wasn't he? God did not plan Ishmael to be born. But notice that God never sees any baby as unwanted. When Ishmael was born, God said, I will bless Ishmael. Thank God he blessed the Arabs. He blesses the Arabs as much as... God doesn't say, oh, I don't want the Arabs. God says, no, whether they were planned or not, I love them. That's God's love. There is no such thing as a rejected pregnancy. Maybe unplanned, maybe unwanted in the terms of the couple not planning for it in that way. But there is no such thing as a pregnancy that is rejected by God or unblessed by God. That's just a detail of putting that clarification. So when we talk about these parallels now between Ishmael and Isaac, we examine them not saying that Ishmael is hated by God and rejected. We're saying that what they symbolize is rejected. So what do we understand by Ishmael? Ishmael is the product of Abraham's inventive strength. If I said to you, come on, let's pool our resources, let's get all our money together, let's get all our brain power, let's get all our gifts and resources, and let's get into a committee, and let's see what we can do to advance the kingdom of God. God would say, all you'll produce is an Ishmael. A disturbance. It won't be a miracle. It will have about it the marks of man. It will be the schemes of man. It will have sweat upon it. It will be defiled. It will cause more trouble than it's worth, actually.